We start with a subject that's been back on the agenda in recent days. Bigger speeding fines and more speed cameras are on the cards for New Zealand as we follow the Swedish road safety model. Sweden's planning to have 3,000 speed cameras. We apparently have 56. The government's developing a new road safety strategy. One person dies every day on our roads, roughly, and every hour someone's injured. There's a myriad of causes advanced, from poor driving to poor roading and, of course, speeding. Associate Transport Minister Julianne Genta says speed cameras are not about stinging motorists with fines for no reason. In an ideal world, we would not collect revenue. Do speed cameras work in the way they're intended to work? It's forever argued about. We thought we'd get an offshore opinion for a change on this. Dr. Neil Thorpe is a lecturer in transport studies at Newcastle University. He's looked at speed cameras in some depth to find out how useful they are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our government says an increase in the number of speed cameras on our roads, safety cameras we tend to call them now, would see them well signposted and on dangerous stretches of road. But people have noted that speed traps of various kinds in New Zealand have often been seen on straight sections of road with seemingly minimal risk. What works better, can I ask you first, hidden cameras or well signposted ones?
I think in the UK, we've very much gone down the road of making people very aware of where the cameras are. We are not there to make money. We want people to slow down at a location where there has been a known problem with collisions.
You make the point in your writing that it should be easy to test the effectiveness of speed cameras, Neil, but it's not. Why?
We know that collisions, there's a random fluctuation in the data. If you take any location on the network, 1 year you might get 3 accidents, you might get 5 the year after, 2 the year after that. So there's going to be some kind of random fluctuation. And the problem is that you normally install a camera when you have observed an abnormally high number of collisions. Now, if you have an abnormally high number of collisions, that may be because the road is becoming more unsafe for whatever reason, or it may be part of this random fluctuation. So if you put a camera in and you have a reduction in the period after the camera, it's quite difficult to tell what is the effect of the camera and what is the effect of the random fluctuation that we know happens. If you don't take in the random effect, it can make the cameras look far more effective than they really are.
So it's complicated. Cameras are likely to save lives, but not to the extent that people are led to believe. Is that the inference?
Not always, yeah. I mean, you have to be very careful when you write your report or whatever, that any reduction may be partly due to the camera and maybe partly due to other things. Yeah.
What are those other things likely to be, though?
Well, the random effect in the data, we know that there is variation over time in the collision numbers at location. And you might have 5 collisions 1 year and 3 the next year, just through the random nature of collision.
Neil, we're following Sweden's Vision Zero model. Certainly to an extent. And it has certainly brought road fatalities down. And they have lots and lots of speed cameras in Sweden. So we do the maths and we think, lots of speed cameras equals lower road toll.
I think there's probably more to it than that. They have a very, very good road network. You know, they are a very strong reputation for vehicle technology. So I think it's probably not a direct correlation between the number of cameras mean you're going to have lower, you know, collision. I think there is a trade-off. You don't need cameras everywhere. What you need to do is get people to realise and understand that the limit is there for safety. And I think more, maybe rather than having them in known locations, if you have an area-wide approach where you say that if you're entering a town and you have signs saying that speed cameras operate in this area, You don't know where they're going to be. It's not being covert. It just means, okay, I might as well just drive at the limit. And then you have an area-wide effect rather than just having an impact at a particular location.
Whereas in Sweden, they tend to put them in the countryside. I read an interview with the architect of Vision Zero, and he acknowledges our foibles when driving. A lot of people can't drive well, they're on their phones and so on, 100 distractions. So the Swedes make roads, you would know about this, of course, that allow for human error. First and foremost, they must keep people safe, so speed limits come right down in certain areas, and we in New Zealand are increasingly following suit. But speaking of random effects, Neil, does this lead to frustration and in turn other bad driving practices, do you think?
It can do. I mean, what we don't want to do is put drivers on edge. We really want our drivers focused on what they should be focused on. And nothing else. So in a way, rather than driving around trying to think where the camera might be, if you just accept, well, if I drive within the limit, I don't have to worry where they are.
And their fans in Sweden of judder bars and conflict areas are targeted and pedestrians are prioritised. But a prominent road safety campaigner here, Neil, says 85% of the road toll occurs under the speed limit, and speed alone is a factor in only 15% of fatal crashes. A minority of people will speed no matter what, and they're the ones involved in the speed-related accidents. Yeah. Is he right?
Yeah, I mean, speed is not a contributing factor in all collisions, and that is where you have to have a package approach of different measures to tackle different problems. And you would not put a speed camera where you don't have a speeding problem. The idea of a camera is that you would hopefully catch the people who are going to speed, and eventually you would get them off the road through a driving ban. But yeah, and you have other measures to tackle other problems, like mobile phone use and other, not wearing seatbelts. So they're not, our cameras are not only used for the speed violation.
No. But how do you have a package approach to, careless driving, general inattention, recklessness, I suppose, is taken care of? With the speed cameras, people just not looking, lack of judgment. You can catch them in their cars with their phones with the new cameras, and that, I suppose, is what you mean by a package approach. But there is a whole lot of other stuff that drivers do that, in fact, you can't do much about.
I think that's probably where the driver education element comes in, where, you try to educate people about driving while tired, paying attention at certain types of junction. Hopefully you'll be able to tackle, you're not going to stop all collisions, but by choosing the right method to tackle the particular problem, hopefully that should get you somewhere near Vision Zero.
The Vision Zero people say they don't catch people at all with speed cameras. They nudge them into good behaviour. There's no revenue, but they have increased compliance on roads with speed cameras on them from 50 to more than 80 or 90%, which sounds impressive. Yeah. Is that likely? If it's all carrot and no stick and you can't be fined, are people likely to behave well?
I think what we do in the UK is very much try and educate people first at the lower end of violations. And if it's your first violation, you can go on a speed awareness course. So hopefully, when we take that approach that we're trying to educate first. And we always say that the most effective camera is the one that doesn't make any money.
You need resources to describe what you do in the UK, and logistically, speed cameras are a convenient way of calming traffic down in a lowest common denominator sort of fashion, so that everybody slows down and not as many people get killed. So is it really realistic to have all those kinds of gentle nudging and educative behaviours, or in fact is the temptation always to bung surveillance onto the roads and do it that way?
I think technology has evolved now to offer far more possibilities, but definitely in the UK, I think our approach is to educate first and then enforce later.
Is it true, as is claimed, that with well signposted cameras, there's a halo effect? Traffic slows down and then speeds up again somewhere else. So unless you have thousands of cameras, all of them working, speed overall does not come down. Is that true?
There's evidence of that. There's evidence that cameras can actually cause accidents, people not seeing them until the very last moment, and slamming their brakes on and causing a rear end, the vehicle behind to crash into them. We have there's evidence of what we call camera surfing, where people slow down for the camera, speed up, and then slow down for the next one. So, yeah, that's partly my reasoning for having an area-wide approach where you don't actually know where the cameras are going to be. They're operating within the area, so you might as well slow down throughout the area.
So finally, Neil, if you were advising the New Zealand government, you would go for area-wide coverage. You've told us that. Would you go for a multiplicity of speed cameras? We don't have many at the moment, but Sweden is building up towards 3,000. You would go for high speed camera numbers in a place like New Zealand as well?
I think it's getting the balance right between affordability. You've got to pay for the camera. I mean, we have, every camera location doesn't have a camera in it. We rotate them on a weekly basis, and you don't know driving past whether there's a camera there or not. So you can have the effect without having to necessarily have, cameras in every location.
You could pay for all the cameras if you increase the fines, Neil. That's the thing.
But then if everybody drives within the limit, then you won't have any revenue.
Very good to talk with you, and thank you very much for your expertise.
No problem. Very good to talk to you.